Scene 1. Interior. We are in a bar at the shore end of a short pier. In front of us is a table with some papers and a laptop, a pen, paper and a catalogue. This bar is now temporarily an office, made so by our activity. A salty picture window faces the sea, and we are sitting gazing out of it, watching a container ship already far away, sailing toward the high seas. Internal dissolve. The container ship is but an imperceptible point on the blue. Large, salty picture window. View of sea. Shipping lane. Phony looking ornamental bar lights. Could be Germany, but not France. Fade to black. Scene 2, interior. The manager comes through from the main bar to the annex where we have established ourselves. We engage them in conversation and learn that the location has been used before. We talk for a while and explain that we would need them to not cut the grass. In an adjacent wall to the first, a second picture window watches a coastal road, which turns to avoid the bar with only 3 meters clear. Room enough for an uncomfortable pavement table in bright yellow plastic, with the bare spine and spindles of a sunshade poking up through the middle. A loud car approaches and the reflections ricochet around the many mirrored and reflective planes inside the bar as if caught. A third window, hard to see in the gloom of the far side of the bar, is blocked from the outside by a large pink children's inflatable. It is squashed against the window and squeaks as it rubs the glass. Coastal road, glass partition, annex / sunroom, display cabinet, yellow plastic. Fade to black. Scene 3, exterior. We walk down a long concrete ramp to the beach, a mixture of rock, slate, and dark sand. Additional piles of stone, smaller, uniformly and unnaturally light grey, like 3D models before the skin is put on, have been deposited, resting like pale tombs. Looking back, the bar dates from, we guess, the 90s, and its exterior has been rendered, the concrete applied to form swells and dips in pale cream. Sections are loose and some have fallen to the ground, dissolving where they land. The water is lively and the container ship has finally vanished. We walk back up to the road. Internal dissolve. Bus stop. Broken glass. Blood. Bins. Puke. Render. Dissolve. Tombs. I wonder if puke and blood might be a suitable description of the place, a fitting concept that outlasts the actual remains of puking and fighting we can see now. Delete broken glass, blood and puke. Scene 4, interior. We look at our notes and read, "This scene will be filmed in real life, stolen, as one says in cinematographic jargon. Therefore, extras are not necessary, but only the three actors." A glass display cabinet contains only a bust of Ronald Reagan and two small men made out of clay. They are dressed in togas. One leans with one hand against a large jug, holding up a glass with the other, and the second man is sat on a rock playing a stringed instrument. A group of real men are stood around the bar, obscured by one of the glass partitions that has a gridded globe icon etched onto it. It is impossible not to transpose their loud conversation onto the small clay men. The leaning clay man says, "If the torpedo had gotten through and punctured the hull, I doubt one of the largest carriers in the world would have sunken." The sitting musician replies, "You should read Tom Clancy's The Hunt for Red October. Although it's a fiction book, it is written with so many real facts and tactics that Tom Clancy was debriefed by the Navy about how he knew about everything in the book. Right now I'm reading Without Remorse." Ronald Reagan, who sounds drunk, says loudly, "Tom Clancy is full of crap. He was never in the service. And a fact that most people don't know is that sailors are the biggest bullshitters in the world." The clay musician comes back with, "You've never read any more than a sentence of Tom Clancy." Glass display cabinet. Small clay men, bust of Ronald Reagan. Scene 5, Interior. Music begins. A television mounted on the wall has been turned on and is showing an animation of zigzags, globes, and columns bouncing around and multiplying drunkenly. We cross out small clay men and write figurines, and then pick up the catalogue, which turns out to be a brochure for the Bavaria Geisel Gastag film studios outside Munich. The brochure is old, from the 70s or 80s, and beautifully made. The binding is broken, and we turn the pages with care. It boasts the latest in thermoplastic sheet moulding facilities, television studios, and a long list of the famous films shot there. There is a photograph of a man in waders and water, standing between rocky cliffs holding a boat as long as his arm. The television is now halfway through a sequence about an industrial plant that produces aggregates on the banks of the estuary. A new shipping container drifts in from the edge of the frame. Shipping lane. Cut to black.